cliffcentral.com.
Richard, are we on track with the financial pack for my presentation to the board next week?
Well, hopefully. The team's very short-staffed, and it's taking such a long time to find a suitable financial manager for the division. We're way behind on all our forecasts and reporting.
Why don't you speak to the finance team? They're a consultancy that can help you with an experienced interim financial manager. You can have somebody to help you almost immediately. They'll hit the ground running with no long-term contracts and no upfront placement fees.
Go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
Welcome to our practical business section of our business masterclass. I'm Richard Angus, CEO of the finance team, your part-time financial executive solution. Joining me in studio to help facilitate today's panel is Safia Boulay of New Habits.
Hi, Richard.
How's it, Safia? Last week, we had Melanie Medel, owner of Malaire Linens in Cape Town, on the line with us. Today, we have a guest joining us via telecon, Ed Grondel, a property expert. He was the former CEO of F&B Home Loans and a property investor. Welcome, Ed.
Hi, Richard. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Ed.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Thanks. Also joining us and staying on from our previous segment is Richard Shambari. He's going to be joining us in this conversation. And we're going to be having a panel discussion about investments in property and the learnings from being a property investor. Now, given my involvement in the property industry, I've decided I'm going to do something a little unorthodox for the show. And I'm actually going to hand over the facilitation role and the mic to my co-host, being Safia. And I'm going to participate along with the panel in the discussion. So, Safia, take us away.
Yeah. So, before we get into what is a good property investing and when it's great to invest in property, I think what many people wonder is, who should invest in property? Is everyone eligible for participating in property investment? I speak from my own perspective. I meet with so many people who have many, many reasons why they believe they can't participate in property investment.
Ed, do you want to perhaps pick up on that one? You've got many years of experience there in the home loan space.
Yeah, and it's really a good question because before you own your first property, the property just seems so out of reach for everybody.
Mm.
And then you soon realize that it's actually not out of reach. So your first property that you buy normally is not a property for investment, but it is your property where you're going to live. And South Africans are very much the kind of people who want to own their assets. South Africans want to own cars. They want to own properties. And so on. It's a very, very strong trait amongst South Africans. Yes, so we buy our first property. But thereafter, you start saying, okay, now I want to create wealth. You look at the various options there are and then say, okay, do I now go into property? And the kind of people that look at that, there is no limit. There's absolutely no limit. It's from the private individual, his or her first foray into buying a property, right through to your large corporations. You have syndicates in amongst them. You have property developers therein. You have so many different classes of people in everything, in every respect. So, Safia, to answer that question, everybody is eligible to buy a property.
So I'm actually
Or invest in properties.
So I'm hearing you say that we can all play in property and we all have to just start off with that first property so that we can get our competence, our driver's license in the property market.
Yeah, Safia, sorry, you're a little bit indistinct. Could you get a little bit closer to the mic?
I'm on the mic.
You're right close.
Right close.
Far more distinct than you are. Pick up, girl.
So I'm just hearing you saying that the only way to learn anything by being in property is by being in property.
No, I don't think that's true. I think that your information available today is so huge. If you compare that to even 20 years ago, what you is available to you now, you can do all your homework. Unfortunately, the reality always is, in looking at any investment, that you are basing it on 90% on history. And the other 10% is your intuition and your luck. But history always has a major factor to bear when you are making a decision. Yeah.
So, Richard, I know that you've got this property portfolio that leaves me gasping.
It leaves me gasping for air sometimes as well, but like, let's not go there.
I always say when I'm big one day. So, Richard, why property?
Yeah, so for me, it was a personal choice. I was, at the time that I got into the property market, I was working for First Rand Bank, and I was the CFO of FNB Corporate. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence of that, as a member of the executive, I was subject to insider trading prohibitions. So basically, I couldn't trade in the equity markets very easily because I was under closed period restrictions, etc. And you can imagine, as the CFO of a corporate bank, if you know what's going on at your clients and you're a CFO, it doesn't take a lot to figure out what to do in terms of a buy sell. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those insider trading regs are there for a very valid reason. And as bankers, you do have insights into what's happening at your clients. So I then had to make a critical decision in my life. I had to make a call to say, I'm going to hand over the reins of my investment in my retirement and my future and put that in the hands of a third party, an asset manager, and let them run with it. Or I had to stay away from the equity markets and do something different. Mm-hmm. And I must be very honest about this. I happened to drive through the basement at one of our sister companies, and I looked at the cars in the basement. And as I walked upstairs, I walked over the very marbled floors and then the nice cut piled carpets and sat on the leather chairs. And I thought to myself, hold on a second here. I'm a chartered accountant. I'm capable of making financial decisions for a bank, yet I don't trust myself to make financial decisions for myself. Mm. You know, I should be able to do this. I need to have a little bit of confidence in myself. And B, why should I be paying somebody else to have this in their offices? Because make no mistake, somebody's paying for that.
And it's the client.
Mm-hmm. Harsh as it is to say. Sorry, financial institutions, but that's the truth. And I know Ed's chuckling there on the other side because he was also part of this world and he knows fully what I'm talking about. So I then made the decision that I needed to be in an asset class. Mm-hmm. So I see property as an asset class, equities and the stock exchange as an asset class, property as another asset class. And so I decided that I needed to get into an asset class that I could work in without the restrictions from my employment side affecting me. Mm-hmm. And then as I did a little bit of digging, I discovered, and this was pre the National Credit Act, I discovered and I had read a few good books, things like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that type of
Robert Kiyosaki.
Robert Kiyosaki and the likes. And I realized very quickly that the secret to property was that marvelous word called gearing. And that for me was critical. I realized that that we needed to go, you know, I needed to think about how I was going to interact in the world of property using gearing and my earning capacity and my balance sheet. And as an accountant, I quickly did the numbers, and I very quickly realized that the secret for me in property actually was using the bank's money with a very small portion of my money and other people's rental profile to actually buy an asset.
And the knowledge and expertise that was out there.
And so I merely did the numbers as an accountant and figured out very quickly that I needed to buy a number of properties. I made some very important decisions around risk and how I would manage that, because obviously I didn't want to have all my eggs in one basket or in one tenant. Okay. And off I went, and I started buying properties. I bought prior to the property climb in the mid 2000s, And I made the decision that I was going to do this myself. My wife and I worked together in the on the business. And yeah, we built a business. And yeah, it's had its tough times, and I'm sure Ed can attest to this. Only being a property owner over the last, let's call it 10, 15 years, hasn't been for sissies. Ed, I'm sure you can attest.
Absolutely.
To it. Absolutely. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's been an interesting ride.
So,
but there, Richard, apologies, Sophia, but there, Richard, in a nutshell, you've just told the Donald Trump story.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did.
But you're not running for president, are you?
No. And Richard is, just for the record, Richard is not running for president. Yeah.
There, maybe, Sophie, also just to come in, you know, with what he's talking about. A property is such, I think it's one of the easiest businesses to go into. Relatively.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you look at how you can get into property business, you don't really need a huge capital outlay. I think you probably need a good record, credit record, and then you are able to use other people's money, like what he's talking about, your gearing. So you have your credit record could leverage you into this market. And the good thing about property is it's a finite resource. Everybody at any given point in time, businesses, private citizens, government, everybody would want to be in property. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I learned very quickly in this exercise was that you really had to understand risk well, and you also had to understand risk that you managed in terms of the risk of tenants and the likes. You also needed to understand the risks that were out there in the broader, let's call it the broader economy and what was happening out there. And one of the things sad to say that I figured out very quickly was that the only way to really know whether I was going to be able to make month end happen in terms of my rental income was that I decided that I needed to look my tenants in the eye myself. I have had more bad debt from rental agents, agencies, than I've actually had from tenants themselves. I've had more agents who've found tenants for me, for example, just disappear with deposits and do all sorts of funny stuff. And at the end of the day, I had to make the tough call to run the portfolio myself with my wife. And that's probably one of the toughest things that we've done. And I'm, you know, looking back at it, I'm not so sure if I knew then what I know now, whether I would have signed up so quickly on this one.
I do remember, it was a few years ago, I phoned you on a Saturday and you were in someone, I think her name was Mrs. Patel's bathroom, fixing the cistern on the toilet.
Yes. Well, I will say this much. And I mean, Ed and I worked together for many years, so he would know the type of person that I am. But I mean, you know, we would finish off I would finish off a day at the office, and then it wouldn't be uncommon, you know, somebody would phone me at 8:30 at night, and I would be on my way home at that point still after showing property to somebody for a potential tenant.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of went, well, while everybody else left the office and went home and had dinner with their family and sat back and watched TV, Richard was out showing properties.
Yeah.
My wife has done an incredible job over the years of showing property, managing properties, running admin, doing repairs. I hate to admit it, but I think my wife is actually more competent in the repairs and maintenance department than I am.
Okay.
And I'm unashamed when I admit that. Ed, I don't know what your experience has been. I know your property investments have been slightly different to mine.
Yeah, but I really feel for what you say. And the overall message that comes out of investing in properties, in different kinds of properties, to me are two things. One, it's not as if you're just simply buying a bunch of unit trusts and you've got nothing else to do but pay your 500 or 1,000 rand a month, whatever the number is that you want to invest, and you sit back and so be it. If you want to get into property, you are going to get your hands dirty and you are going to have to do a lot more focusing and yeah, either outsourcing maintenance or whatever. But yeah, as your experience is, you know, if you're relying on external people, you are A, cutting down on your profit, and B, you're not necessarily going to ensure that your customer's happy.
Yeah.
The other thing, of course, if you don't keep your hand on the tiller, yeah, your cash flow is going to take a problem. Cash flow is a big thing in this business. Unlike, again, just simply putting in a bunch of money into unit trusts and just let it lie there. And yeah, you've got running costs, which you have to manage your income versus your running costs.
Yeah. So Ed, you know, they always say location, location, location. And I think maybe 10, 15 years ago, a good location was known and stayed a good location for a very long time. But in South Africa, things have become, it's been a rolling kind of platform. What was a good location a few years ago is no longer a good location. And what is seen as a bad location today becomes a magnificent location tomorrow.
Yep.
How do you know when and where to buy?
Well, if you ask me, is the old saying of location, location, location still valid?
Mm.
Or as we used to refer to the three P's in the older days, and it was position, 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 the same thing. Is that still a valid statement? My answer is most decidedly yes, yes, okay. Yes. It is still valid. And again, yeah, you're basing it on what you know now, and whatever vision you can have, you can apply for the future. You need to do it. It's pointless buying something which is, let's say you're wanting to buy a property for a property with retail accommodation. If it's in the wrong place, you are not going to attract businesses and tenants to it, because you're not going to attract customers to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same applies to residential. If you want to go for the luxury market and the house is standing right next door to a highway, you're not going to attract your luxury market. You're not going to get the level of rentals that you want, and so on. So position is still absolutely vital. It's not that it has to be in the best areas. It's position means a tremendous amount of things. Where it is in relation to the area that it is. Is it the smartest house on the street, or is it the house that estate agents love to call needs tender loving care? If it is the worst house on the street, you've got a chance of growing the value with small repairs. If it's the best house, you've got no chance.
Okay.
And so that goes for every kind of property. If it's agricultural land that you're buying, and you know that the area is being condemned for whatever, it's never going to be a good investment. Never. So you have a tremendous amount of it. So I do believe that location is still absolutely vital. When you look at it, and again, it comes down to doing your homework.
Mm. And yet, I know that there are many, many different kinds of property investments out there. But for a novice, how do you know what is out there for you to invest in? Because many people think it's just about buying a unit in a complex. What are the options?
I suppose, firstly, it comes down to how much money you have to invest. So that's the first place to start.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've inherited from granny, and you've got this huge, big, fat lump sum, your choice is more difficult, because you really have to say, okay, how am I going to get the best return for this, rather than just leaving the money in the post office on a tax-free savings. So you want to maybe apply some risk, but you want to make sure that you are going to get a decent return. So buying your second and third holiday home is not the way to do it, because you're relying then only on one form of income, and that is going to be capital growth, which you only will realize when you sell the property. If you are going to buy luxury homes, you're going to limit yourself to to and you want to rent it, apologies, if you're going to rent your luxury home, you are limited to when that luxury home is going to be rented. It's, the chances are, if it's if you're a coastal property, you're not going to get much in Cape Town's winter, say, and so on. So you've got a lot more work to do. If you've got a small amount that you want to invest in, this is your first one, mm-hmm. that you and your wife or you and your partner have put together some of your hard-earned income. You say, okay, let's get into property. Again, you look at the various apartments and you're going to look at apartments. You look at all the different options that there are available at that sort of price level. So let's say you've got 2 million. Pick a number. Or let's say 2 million is where you're focusing on. So before you even commit, before you even go and talk to the bank, you're now looking at saying, okay, we're going to buy an apartment of, say, 2 million rand. How do I decide if buying in this complex is better or worse than buying in that complex? Mm-hmm. Then you've got to go and do a bit of homework. You've got to speak to the governing body. You've got to find out about sales in that particular complex. Have they been good? Have they been bad? What have been the average sales? And get yourself into the place and have a really good look. And you know, often you get a gut feel. You walk into a block and you get a real good feel or a bad feel. That I don't see myself in this. I don't see that I would want to be associated with this. Then don't go there. Mm-hmm. Then don't go there, because at the end of the day, you personally are going to get involved with that property. And so it goes up the line. It's only when you end up getting 4 or 5 apartments or a whole block of apartments, like Richard, the property baron there. Only at that point in time, you know, can you get a little bit more impersonal at it. But your first investment is the big one, and that one you want to make sure is really going to work for you. So do your homework and make mm-hmm. sure that you are not going to put yourself into a cash flow tight spot if you don't let the place for 6 months, or if you suddenly decide you want to sell, but you suddenly hit a recession and you cannot sell it for love of money.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure that this is an investment and it's not going to be your everything.
Yeah.
Mm. The other thing, Ed, is I think there are other types of property out there that one can expose oneself to. There's commercial property, obviously.
Yep.
And that comes in different forms. There's also listed property on the JSE that allows you to have, let me call it, some of the benefits of property ownership without the hassles of got somebody else doing the work for you. Please remember, of course, that they are then taking out, you know, the cream on the cake on that one, unfortunately. But it does become a very passive investment for you. Then you've got different types of property ownership. So, you know, freehold, sectional title, you know, blocks of flats, etc. The one thing that I learned through, unfortunately, sad experience, was that the whole principle of zoning. And I had a block of I was involved with a small block of flats, and the council had on the rates accounts. This was designated as commercial 4, I think it was, property for Joburg. And I paid this nice hefty rates and taxes bill every month. And at some point, I did a bit of research. I was looking at something linked to the building. And I discovered, to my horror, that if a building was entirely residential, even though it was zoned commercial, you could apply to the council for a relaxation on the rates account, and they actually come out, they do an inspection, they make sure that they're comfortable that it's residential only, and then they actually give you a rebate on your rates account. Now, there's a little bit of a free piece of advice to anybody listening. And as long as there's no commercial, so you can't do it where you've got a block of flats and shops underneath, etc. But if it is an entire block of flats, it actually has the residential classification capability. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, you different types of investment. You got to make sure you understand all the nuances of it. I discovered that obviously commercial property was not my strong suit, and I've shied away from that. And then of course you've got international property. That's a potential opportunity. So if you've got, if you're somebody who wants a rand hedge, you know, you can go out there and look at property ownership in other countries. You've obviously got to be really careful here, because most countries out there actually have restrictions on who may own property. Be very careful that you don't get caught up in a scheme
and a scam
where you think you're buying when in fact you don't. My memories go to, I think it was the Master Bond scandal down in Cape Town, where they were selling parts of the ocean. Interestingly, I've just got back from spending some time in Abu Dhabi, and I was at a building in Abu Dhabi, and I had to look at something on a map, on GPS, you know, on the GPS maps, and I realized I was standing in the middle of the ocean. Because they'd reclaimed the piece of land, and this road was in the middle of the ocean. So sometimes selling the ocean is a valid one.
People in Holland have that problem all the time.
Every now and then,
exactly.
Yep. So investing in a property occasionally is one thing, but doing this as a business is a whole different other kettle of fish. What are the benefits and the risks in investing in property?
The challenges.
We've got about a minute to go.
Well, I just want to add a point, Safia, about all the different kinds of properties to buy. And just one of those we didn't mention is vacant land. And vacant land is not something that I would recommend that anybody get in for their first investment. Vacant land does not appreciate generally anywhere near a built-up piece of land. You continue to have costs on it, it is also not very saleable, because people don't really want to buy a piece of land. And that's happened many, many times when people have bought in golf developments and eco-estates and things like that. It is very, very risky, and certainly not for your early investments. Do you think that? Later stage, that's different when we're talking about you getting really into bigger investing.
Okay.
So now, what are the challenges of owning?
We've run out of time, Ed.
Of getting into property investment.
Ed, we've run out of time. We're going to have to do another show on the challenges.
Ed, thank you very much for your time, both to you and to Richard Shambari for joining us.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. I think we could probably dedicate an entire show to talking about property investments and all the different options that we do have out there. Thank you for your time. We really do appreciate it. Thank you.
It's a great pleasure. Good chatting to you.
Great. Next up, the Youth Leadership Platform. Stay with us.
CliffCentral.com.